Sir Dominic Ferrand by Henry James. Chapter 1. There are several objections to it, but I'll take it, if you'll alter it, Mr. Lockett's rather curt note had said, and there was no waste of words in the postscript in which he had added, if you'll come in and see me, I'll show you what I mean. This communication had reached Jersey Villas by the first post, and Peter Barron had scarcely swallowed his leathery muffin before he got into motion to obey the editorial behest. He knew that such precipitation looked eager, and he had no desire to look eager. It was not in his interest. But how could he maintain a godlike calm, principled though he was in favor of it, the first time one of his great magazines had accepted, even with a cruel reservation, a specimen of his ardent young genius? It was not till, like a child with a seashell at his ear, he began to be aware of the great roar of the underground, that in his third-class carriage the cruelty of the reservation penetrated with the taste of acrid smoke to his inner sense. It was really degrading to be eager in the face of having to alter. Peter Barron tried to figure to himself at that moment that he was not flying to betray the extremity of his need, but hurrying to fight for some of those passages of superior boldness which were exactly what the conductor of the promiscuous review would be sure to be down upon. He made believe, as if to the greasy fellow passenger opposite, that he felt indignant, but he saw that to the small round eye of this still more downtrodden brother he represented selfish success. He would have liked to linger in the conception that he had been approached by the promiscuous, but whatever might be thought in the office of that periodical of some of his flights of fancy, there was no want of vividness in his occasional suspicion that he passed there for a familiar bore. The only thing that was clearly flattering was the fact that the promiscuous rarely published fiction. He should therefore be associated with a deviation from a solemn habit, and that would more than make up for him for a phrase in one of Mr. Lockett's inexorable earlier notes, a phrase which still rankled about his showing no symptom of the faculty really creative. You don't seem to be able to keep a character together, this pitiless monitor had somewhere else remarked. Peter Barron, as he sat in his corner while the train stopped, considered in the befogged gaslight the bookstall standard of literature, and asked himself whose character had fallen to pieces now. Tormenting, indeed, had always seemed to him such a fate as to have the creative head without the creative hand. It should be mentioned, however, that before he started on his mission to Mr. Lockett, his attention had been briefly engaged by an incident occurring at Jersey Villas. On leaving the house, he lived at number 3, the door of which stood open to a small front garden, he encountered the lady who a week before had taken possession of the rooms on the ground floor, the parlours, in Mrs. Bundy's terminology. He had heard her, and from his window 2 or 3 times, had even seen her pass in and out, and this observation had created in his mind a vague prejudice in her favour. Such a prejudice, it was true, had been subjected to a violent test. It had been fairly apparent that she had a light step, but it was still less to be overlooked that she had a cottage piano. She had furthermore a little boy and a very sweet voice, of which Peter Barron had caught the accent, not from her singing, for she only played, but from her gay admonitions to her child, whom she occasionally allowed to amuse himself, under restrictions very publicly enforced, in the tiny black patch which, as a forecourt to each house, was held in the humble row to be a feature. Jersey Villas stood in pairs, semi-detached, and Mrs. Rives, such was the name under which the new lodger presented herself, had been admitted to the house as confessedly musical. Mrs. Bundy, the earnest proprietress of number 3, who considered her parlours, there were a dozen feet square, even more attractive, if possible, than the second floor with which Barron had had to content himself. Mrs. Bundy, who reserved the drawing